Beloved, you are listening to Grace Life Komi Podcast, a platform commissioned by God to raise men into completeness in Christ Jesus. We believe that you will be blessed beyond measure as you give yourself wholly to this divinely inspired teaching. Through God's servant Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
So says by the Spirit. Study, amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And in our last study, we understood one of the instruments by which God teaches us and guides us. We're meant to be looking at six of them, which is number one, by His Holy Spirit, number two, by His Word, number three, by godly earthly fathers, number four, by fathers in the gospel, number five, by instructors, that's mentors, and number six, by New Testament prophets. Amen. And we have been able to look at in last year's meeting, we're able to look at by His Spirit and by His Word. In our last meeting, that was on Friday, we're able to look at by godly earthly fathers, and we learned quite some important things. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that lesson was very important to us. And there are quite a number of things that our godly earthly fathers teach us, you know, as when our fathers are in line with God's word, when they are born again and they are students of the word, we discover that their instructions are meant to be scriptures. Praise God forevermore. We understood that from the last study, that the word instruction, actually the Hebrew word for instruction, entails all that, you know, scriptures are meant to be used for, as seen in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so we understood quite a lot in our last study. Today we're going to be looking at fathers in the gospel. This is a very serious issue because it has caused a lot of stir in the body of Christ. Praise God forevermore. There's one line I want to draw here. There's a difference between a father in the gospel and a prophet over your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Most of the time when we want to talk about fathers in the gospel, we use the Elisha situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Elijah took his mantle. The Lord took Elijah to go and call Elisha for an anointing for the ministry of the prophets. Amen. And actually, it was Elisha, Jehu, and another person. I've forgotten that was meant to be anointed. Jehu and the other person were meant to be a king. Jehu was meant to be the military general. Elisha was the prophet. And he struck Elisha with his mantle. And Elisha ran and met him and said, "Oh, please allow me to settle my family, and then I can come and follow you." And he said, "What have I done to you?" And Elisha went immediately, killed the oxen he was using for farming. He was a big time farmer, and him and his father were farmers, you know, and boiled it. They cooked it, they ate it, and he terminated his farming business. And then he began to pour water on. The Bible says when he wanted to introduce Elisha, he said, "The one who poured water on Elijah's hand." You're not born an Elijah's son. We need to understand something, that Elijah was a prophet sent to Elisha. Are you getting what I'm saying? The difference between a father in the gospel and a prophet over your life. There are two different things. And we've muddled it up many of the time. Now, a prophet over your life may not be a father in the gospel to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And a father in the gospel to you may not be, in quotes, a prophet over your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Now, so there are two different things. And I'm going to be looking at them. That's why I'm going to be looking at the New Testament prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if there was an Elijah situation, we need to look at it from the New Testament point of view. Praise God forevermore. So the New Testament prophets have a role to play in instructing and directing God's people. I'm going to be looking at that. And Elijah's situation fall into the New Testament situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't fall into the father in the gospel situation. We've heard things like spiritual father. We've heard things like father in the faith. Basically, if we go through scriptures, Jesus actually said, "Call no man father except the Lord." Are you getting what I'm saying? And we've had people who based on that, they don't believe that anybody is to play a father role in your life. Now, if you actually say nobody is to play a father role in your life, that means even your biological father has no role to play in your life, how would you have come into the life? Are you getting what I'm saying? So there's a place of fatherhood even in the things of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? What most of the time we call spiritual father is actually we are referring to father in the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, but that term spiritual father, I would say from scriptures as we are looking today, it's not actually rightly in good place. Are you getting it? But let's go through scriptures and see what the Lord will have us understand. Holy Spirit, we ask for revelation into your word in the name of Jesus. So we're looking at today, we're looking at fathers in the gospel. Now, a father in the gospel is one who through the gospel gives birth to another, as seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul tells the Corinthian church that he begat them through the gospel. So the father in the gospel is one who gives birth to another, who begets another through the gospel. Through the what? The gospel. Are we together? So basically, looking at it, it is through that person, that was the human instrument by which God saved you. By which, let me use the word, the human instrument by which the gospel came to you and you received the gospel and you were saved. It's not the human instrument by which God saved you. The instrument by which God saved us is grace. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
It's a gift of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah to Jesus. So we are saved by grace through our faith. Are you getting me? Now, but and the same scripture says, how can they hear if there is no preacher? And how can they preach if they are not sent? For grace to come to you, somebody has to preach it to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we're saved through grace, the person of Jesus, but grace has to be preached to us for us to receive the saving grace by faith. So it brings the importance of human factors in the communication of God's grace to us. Praise God forevermore. Now, so a father in the gospel is one who gives birth to you through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, I've used the King James Version, now use the International Standard Version. Paul speaking here says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Yet have ye not many fathers. This is a very important subject, a very important statement. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a very important statement. You have 10,000 instructors. What does that mean? That instructors are many. In one of our local, is it a dialect or is it, I think, the slang when you die, it's the Sarah. And there are many. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instructors are many. In the gospel, in the faith, in the Christian, instructors, I mean, if you tune on the television today, you'll see them everywhere. Instructors, I mean, and if you're not careful, you can listen to instructors and get out of instruction. Are you get what I'm saying? Instructors are many, because one of the easiest things to do is to talk. Are you get what I'm saying? And some of the times, you can even talk without experience. Are you getting me? And sometimes you can even talk as a theorist, and let me use the word, a theologian. It's beautiful to have revelation, but until the revelation you have received become a manifestation in your life, you are still but a theorist. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Until that revelation you have received becomes a manifestation in your life, you are still but a theorist. You say, but is every revelation I received or manifest in my life? Paul went to Arabia for 3 years. Are you getting what I'm saying? To study well. And part of the reason for studying was to be able to have some encounters and experiences with the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? That he could come and tell them. He said, I saw a man. I don't know whether it was in the flesh or it was in the what? In the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I saw this man. These were encounters. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so revelations must become manifestation before they can become instructions. But if the revelation is still a revelation, it is basically a spiritual information. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm not against people still releasing spiritual information, because maybe the spiritual information you may release that is not a manifestation of life, maybe it's a manifestation of somebody else's life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we have instructors everywhere. There are more in the body of Christ, in the church. There are more instructors. So many. When you use the word thousands used in the Bible, it speaks of, let me use the word, innumerable. In the book of Revelation, it says, and thousands and tens of thousands of thousands. of those that are redeemed still before the Lord. It was the highest quantification that could be used in those days, in that time, was tens of thousands. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, and they had 40,000. So they had to the best they could get was into the tens of thousands. Are you getting me? Even the hundreds of thousands they could still attain, you see that they had to break it into tens of thousands still. Are you getting me? So when thousands are used, it's in those times, it speaks of the height of quantification. So if it says if you can have 10,000, it means that you can have them in millions. There are many everywhere you turn, you have them. But it says what? Yet have ye not many fathers. That means fathers are few. The first thing to think about fathers in the gospel is that they are few. Fathers are few in the gospel. They are few. Instructors are many, fathers are few. And see, that's the reason why when you see somebody who has given birth to somebody in the gospel, don't talk down on the person. Don't take the person for granted. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because fathers are few. Even in our biological sense, are you getting what I'm saying? There are many playboys, but there are few fathers. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are many playboys, but there are few fathers. Fatherhood takes a lot of responsibility, praise God forevermore. He says, say yet, not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I have begotten you in Christ through the gospel. Praise God forevermore. Are we together? So we call this father in Christ through the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are fathers in Christ, are we together, through the gospel. And they are not many. They are not what? They are not many. They are not many. They are few. Why? Because it takes a lot of labor to beget somebody in Christ. Go and look for the evangelists. Those are actually doing their work. We heard the story of the person who got Billy Graham born again. Is that not so? After investing all the massive, he said, sometimes when I think of how much I've spent in the gospel financially, I think I should not cry when I think of Billy Graham's father in Christ through the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? The guy went to their city where they were and did a massive crusade in their village, spent money, and after everything, did an altar call and only just that small thing with Billy Graham came out. And after then, he kept on his equipment and said, no more people again. All the money spent, all the prayers, all the fasting, everything. That's one small boy. This thing is not worth it. But many years later, he came for a Billy Graham crusade. And Billy Graham is like me, he knew the guy was. And Billy Graham began to tell his testimony of how he got saved. And finally, he let the man know that this is that teenage boy that got saved. You know, there's another testimony I heard that was also in an African nation. Praise God forevermore. To be a father in Christ through the gospel, it takes a lot of labor. That's why the Bible says, count them of double honor. Who labor in what? In the word and in doctrine. It takes a lot of labor in the world. It takes a lot of labor in the place of prayers. You know, it takes a lot of labor in fasting. A lot of labor in your finances. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, so father in Christ through the gospel, there are few. There are few. There are few. You see quite a number of people who are out there. They want to give teachings, they want to give revelation, they want to give the miraculous, but for salvation of soul, they're not really keen about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Salvation of soul is the first thing that has to be the major agenda of everybody by right, because Jesus sent us to teach all men. Are you getting what I'm saying? Baptizing them, and those that believe, you know, baptize them. Now, so salvation of soul is meant to be the primary focus of every Christian. In other words, every Christian primarily has to think of being a father in Christ in the gospel. Through the gospel, are you getting what I'm saying? But it's few, because especially in our times where people are careful about miracles. Miracles, 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 miracles. But the soul of men, they're not careful about them. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so you discover that father in Christ in the gospel, through the gospel, is a difficult task. And people who are in that task are few. They are not many. Amen to Jesus. Now, the ISB says, you may have 10,000 mentors, amen, who work for the Messiah. They actually, mentors work for the Messiah. You know what I'm saying? There are many. And actually, the Messiah put them there because they have to be many, since the people that are getting saved are many. And even though the instruction he gives may not be practicing, maybe somebody may practice his own instruction. You get what I'm saying? There are people who, they are not practicing what they preach. But people have listened to them and practice what they have preached. You know, I learned the story of Archbishop Benson Awosa. His pastor preaching once and said, God does miracles. God can raise the dead. God can raise the dead. And after they said, went to me, but I said, went to me, his pastor, I said, Pastor, you mean that God can raise the dead? I said, yes, show them scriptures. Jesus raises the dead. Show them scriptures. And he asked, and he said, so you mean God can use those things? He said, yes, God can use to raise the dead. And he asked, Pastor, have you raised the dead? Pastor said, no. He said, but God can use us to raise the dead. So I said, no, but thank you, Pastor. It has been our generation to say, ah, Pastor, I've not raised the dead. Why should I be thinking of raising the dead? Number one, what kind of a pastor that is preaching what is not practicing? What kind of a pastor is that is a hypocritical pastor? But he's setting a different light. So look and say God can raise the dead. And you have not said, okay, maybe your faith cannot raise the dead. Let me go and try my faith. And he took his bicycle and started cycling around the whole village looking for a dead person. Don't get fit. Finally, before the close of day, God revealed him to save a dead person. And he went. A small girl that just died. And he went. And he prayed for her. And she dragged back to life. And that began his dead raising. Spring. It was in Zimbabwe, Nabi, that he said he's not going to preach when they bring a dead person for him to bring back to life. What kind of a human being is that? He said, okay, for sick issues of blindness, deafness, dumbness, lameness, his wife will pray for them. But he's not praying. That's what the class of miracles looking for now. Bring dead. They were luckily enough, they were able to get a dead person. That flies already infesting the persons with the cops. And the cops are swollen, flies are infesting. I said, hey, good, put it there. In the name of Jesus, come back to life. The dead body will not move. The name of Jesus, come back to life. The dead body will move. That time, the name of Jesus, come back to life. First, the dead flies on the mouth of the man. Jack back to life. When he saw that, I said, correct, the power is at work. Fire, come back to life. The person came back to life. What I'm not saying. It's good for us to have more instructors because we don't know what instruction will help somebody.
Yes.
Even it may not be working for you. Some people will say, like I said, yes, until your revelation becomes a manifestation of your life, it's just an instruction. But still give instructions. Maybe it may not be a revelation in your life today, a manifestation in your life today.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe tomorrow will become. And if you say, okay, because it's not a manifestation yet, I will not give the instructor. What about the person that you're supposed to see? The person that your instructor was supposed to help. So, instructors will always be more. Are you getting what I'm saying? And fathers will be few. So he says, for you may have 10,000 mentors who work for the Messiah, but not many fathers. For in the Messiah Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now he says it. Mentors, instructors are the same thing. Mentors and instructors are the same thing. There are many. You have 10,000 of them. You have thousands of them. But you have few fathers. Because, on another scale, stay in the place of prayer. Be a student of the word of God. You can be instructed. You can instruct. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can be, once you have the gift of teaching, you can instruct. Are you getting me? You can instruct. But now, to now give birth to somebody in Christ, it takes more than just stay in the place of prayer. And studying the word of God, it takes labor. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says, I have begotten you in Christ. He says, and Paul says, he says, I labor daily that Christ the word be formed in you. So for you to birth a person in Christ, it takes labor. The same way a woman has to go to the labor room to birth her children. For you to birth people in Christ, it takes labor. Are we together?
Yes.
And when I'm talking about father in Christ through the gospel, I'm not talking about somebody that was born again and he came to your church that you are the pastor. No, I get what I'm saying. I'm talking about somebody that was not born again and he came to the church you are pastoring and he heard the word of God because of your work as you preached, and his faith for receiving was made alive, and he believed in the Lord Jesus by his faith, because of what she taught. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. And he gave his life to God. He became born again. That's what I'm talking about here. Or the one you went out preaching to over and again, preaching to the person to get saved, until the person got saved. That's what I'm talking about here. And there's a beautiful thing to know that Dr. Paul Yongicho, his father in Christ, through the gospel, was not somebody that was even bigger and special. He said after the Korean War, they were all in poverty and they were all wretched. And so he contracted tuberculosis. And he was an idol worshiper. He prayed to his idol over and again for the idol to heal him from tuberculosis. And the idol refused to heal him from tuberculosis. So there was this small young girl who gave him a Bible and told him to read the Bible. And he said, okay, read it. Just to drive away. And then she came and told him, okay, please, I want you to receive yours as your Lord and personal Savior. And he said, he will not receive. And she said, nearly she broke down and he started crying. I have not seen evangelism. It's not that I'm thinking of evangelism, you think that you have to be eloquent, you have to be. See, all you need is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the convincing power. He was confused. What is the problem? Is it not me that we receive Jesus? Is it you that has to receive Jesus? It's me. So why are you crying? She said, No. Please, he has to give this. She didn't have any eloquence. She didn't have, plenty scriptures. She didn't know plenty to. After all, if she knew plenty of scriptures, she would have been in the Bible, should have been teaching the Bible. She didn't know much, so she gave him the Bible. And she didn't know how to even convince him. She didn't know how to teach him. She didn't know how to preach to him. But she said, please give your life to Christ. If you try that in our time, you say you don't know how to do evangelism. And she said he's not giving that. She started crying. She broke down and was crying seriously, like somebody that, when you are crying for somebody that is, you are mourning for somebody. Her tears were like, her cry was the cry of a mourning that this guy wants to die. And it's somebody you don't know before. See, passion for souls, we make it, oh my God. It will make you weep when you see people are going to hell. I remember somebody when he was at the verge of death. And I said, God, I heard a story of somebody who died and they were good like this. I've been praying for the salvation of the person. But it's painful that even when you pray for salvation, the devil now turns the people against you. And if this person was at the verge of death, God needed to pray for the person. The person, God saved his life. And you wonder, what's happening? And she was like crying. And when he looked at the girl and said, see, Mr. Trouble, it's me that I should get saved. And you are crying that I'm not getting it. Okay, now to stop her from crying, and I said, I will receive Jesus. Was it emotional blackmail? Did she be emotional blackmail? I don't know. It's okay. You sure you see yourself? It's okay. So long as you stop crying, I will see Jesus. You say you are sure? Say yes, I will see. Are you sure? Say yes, I will see. You are sure? Say okay. Now this is what you do. Say this prayer after. And she read it to Christ. He said that was when everything changed. We heard of Yongicho, but we never heard of that girl. Yongicho was the first to gather 1 million people in church. Is that not so? We heard of Yongicho, but we never heard of that. But every one person out of that 1 million that Yongicho brought, they were credited to her. A girl who did not know how to expansate on scripture, who did not know how to do exegesis, who did not know how to do homiletics, and then in fact it was a poverty and bankruptcy of homiletics and hermeneutics that made us start crying. But I think I prefer that kind of bankruptcy. So if you give me a man that will win 1 million souls, than to be so rich in hermeneutics and homiletics, and I will not even get somebody that will get saved, I'll get saved at all. So these are things that we need to really put into cognizance. Because let's look at the church today. Are we really having more fathers in Christ through the gospel? We are having more instructors. It is not wrong, but to an extent, even some of our instructors are beginning to bring about a lot of contradictions to us. And even the new ones that are supposed to be engrafted into the system, they don't even know where to start from getting engrafted. Because the instructors are beginning to instruct haywire. But I think the major cry for the church today now should be fathers in Christ through the gospel. We are having fishermen who move fishes from aquarium to aquarium, but don't go to the ocean to pull the fishes out. I get what I'm saying? So these are the things that we need to really give serious attention to. Serious attention to. And a father in the gospel, in Christ, through the gospel, is somebody that is indispensable in this faith. Is indispensable in this faith. The devil is trying to play down on it, but it's indispensable. Because without them, are you getting what I'm saying? On a larger scale, people will not get saved. How can they hear if there be no preacher? And how can they preach if they have not been sent? Without them, I'm telling you, on a larger scale, people will not get saved. So I think we need to pray for more fathers in Christ through the gospel. Are we together? All right, now, so we've seen that. Now, next thing to know is that a father in the gospel, in Christ through the gospel, is meant to be an example for the newborn to follow. Are you getting it? Why he himself follows Christ. Here's another challenge we have here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's one thing for you to give birth to this person in Christ through the gospel. It's another thing for you to now continue nurturing. Because a man who gives birth to a baby, who has a baby, but will not nurture the baby, is a playboy. Is that not so? He's not a father. He's a playboy. See, that's what we said. See, those days, people will go out for evangelism. Are you getting what I'm saying? They will win the soul. They will nurture the soul. They will nurture the soul. It's not this what we are doing. Say, God will bust this thing for them to come in. And just, no! Once in a week, you see that this father in Christ, through the gospel, goes to visit this newborn. Shares the word with the newborn. Strengthens the newborn. But what we have today is, they get born again on Sunday. They go to foundation school on Monday. And they enter into workers in training on Tuesday. And by Wednesday, they are doing workers. By Thursday, they are ministers in training and in Bible school. And by Friday, they are ministers. By Saturday, they have become assistant pastor. And on public holiday, they are now full-fledged pastor. That's what we see today. But you see, what we saw in the early times was what it was meant to be. Because you have now to become an example. See, that's why the beauty of Father in Christ is very good. Because you begin to watch your steps. You begin to watch your life. Because you know that your newborn is following you. And is watching you. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's watching you. So, this Apostle Paul instructed the church to do this in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 11, verse 1. It says, 4 verse 16 says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You see, we have a generation of people who want people to follow them. I understand what I'm saying. But they don't understand what people following them entails. Oh, follow me. But we always hear, I heard a minister speak and said, God will not just come for heaven and even God will not come for heaven and get you saved. He saved you through people. So there are men, God has put protocol in place that there are men you have to follow. But there's a basis of following. Look at the basis of following. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul said like this, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So now the basis on which people are to follow you is if you are following Christ. Very important. The day you stop following Christ, you have no right to tell anybody to follow you. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So as a father in Christ, through the gospel, you have a responsibility to follow Christ ditto. Why do you have to do that? You have to do that because the people behind you are following you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so if they are not, if you're not following Christ, dito, then they have no right to follow you. Or you have no right for them to follow you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so it doesn't just end at betting them in Christ. It continues into what? Making them good followers as you follow Christ. Are we together? Good followers. And you see, if this system is actually in place, we'll discover that the church will be much more better than what it is today. And I will not blame anybody because even Paul told them to follow me, they follow me. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we know that the church is Jesus' church, and he knows how to purge her, how to remove the spots and work from her. Are you getting what I'm saying? But now there's a precedence there. Now you know that people, the temple say that if you actually follow your pastor, you will not be behaving like this. You will not be behaving like this. Oh, if you actually follow your leader, you don't be behaving like this. It shows us on a larger scale that followers on a larger scale do not follow. They have a designation of followers, but they don't have a lifestyle of followers. They have a title of followers, but they don't have a practice of what? Followers. So on a larger scale, we discover that followers do not follow. Are you getting what I'm saying? And even if their what? Their master is following Jesus, their line continues long journey. It's true with the Lord. You see, well, most of the time we criticize the Jews, the Israelites, but we don't know that we are, the church is actually on another scale replicating what they did. Moses comes and tells them, the Lord wants to speak with you. And they tell him, okay, we will hear the Lord speak, no problem. And then they hear the lightning, they hear the thunder. They see the lightning, they hear the thunder. They see the thick black smoke on the mountain. And they tell Moses, is this way the Lord has been speaking with you? It's only you that knows that this kind of communication style. But the one understands communication style, all this lightning communication style, this thunder communication style, this thick black communication style, we don't understand. See, when we want to talk to somebody, we just say, how are you? Fine. Best you say, how are you? Fine. Why are you going to? We talk straight, not with all this drama first. So Moses, go and talk to the Lord. And when you finish talking to him, come back and tell us what the Lord has said. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the New Testament, yes, God does not do the lightning, the thunder, the drama, but we know that to hear God, you need to be patient. You need to wait on Him. You need to wait on Him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Not to wait for Him. You need to wait on Him. So even when the Lord told me wait, He did not tell me wait for me. He told me wait. Wait, please wait on me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Need to wait on it, and that waiting on the Lord is what Christians don't want to do. So we send our fathers to go and wait on the Lord, and then they should come back with miracle working power for us and give it to us. Sharp, sharp. And this is what we have been enjoying. This is what we have been, that is what we're enjoying over the years. But it's staying on us gradually. Not gradually, it's staying on us massively now. Go online, see what Christians are saying. You will wonder, are these Christians? The reason for that is that over the years, we have sent the fathers to go and wait on the Lord. While we are carrying on our own jamboree life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when the fathers have been waiting, they come and tell us what the Lord is saying. And that kind of Christianity, we always produce baby-friendly Christians. Christians that will always be living on Sri Lanka. And they will never be able to have a relationship with the Lord. Do we have to tell people to read their Bible before they know to read their Bible? Do we have to tell you to eat before you know you eat? Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you have to listen to a sermon before you study the word? But still at that, despite the fact that we have it all messed up in Christianity. But there are some people who are students of the Word of God, and they are not pastors. They are not ministers in their denomination. They are just students of the Word. They are out there. When you meet them, you enjoy fellowship. Are we together? So, a father has to follow Christ. And on that ground, a father in Christ, through the gospel, has to follow Christ. And on that ground, the children follow. Now, saying in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16 above, one can have only one father in Christ through the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this may either be male or female, depending on who gave birth to you in the gospel. Young Cho's own was a small girl. I want to believe that he must have still maybe had a touch, kept in touch with that girl. Yeah. You will look for her. When you see that you're like, you look for that person. I get what I'm saying? Yeah. Bishop David Oedipo, his own was a teacher, a woman. So we believe that must always be males. Are you getting what I'm saying? But now, father in Christ through the gospel is only one. You cannot have more than one. Same way you cannot have two biological fathers. Except from what science is trying to create now. Abi? Okay. And that's monstrous. You see, they are building monsters. You see, the Nephilims are trying to regenerate themselves. They are building monsters. Whether you like them, they are building monsters. Because God has put a protocol in place of one man, one woman. One father, one mother knows what he's doing. You try to create anything, you create something that will destroy you. So you can only have one father in Christ through the gospel. And it can be male, it can be female. Are we together? It can be male, or it can be what? Female. But it's only one. It's only one. And you see, this is where it comes, this is where this subject comes very handy. Everybody, on a larger scale, many Christians got born again because somebody preached to them. Either maybe on campus, either in secondary school, either in a crusade, either in church, in the market, somewhere, you got born again because somebody preached to you. It might even be that maybe the person did not even lead you to Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the person told you the words that you went back and meditated on those words, and you know, from there, you got saved. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me even put it this way. It could be a sower and harvester situation. It could also be a planter and waterer situation. Paul and Apollos matter was planter and waterer. Paul was planter, Apollos was waterer. But God gave him peace. So somebody might have sown the seed into your heart of the word of God, and then it made it that seed kept, you know, being watered until the increase came. Are you getting what I'm saying? So these are things that we really need to be very careful about. Because, for example, I preach the word of God to somebody. Are you getting me? And then the person went to church, and somehow the pastor was preaching, and it looked like the words I told him began to press on his heart. And the pastor after they did altar call, and he came out. Now, I was the planter. That pastor was the water. The Lord is the one who gave the increase. But now, it's explained that the both parties, and Jesus said, both parties have to what? Rejoice. Are we together? But now, when it comes to the Father in Christ through the gospel, the person that is meant to really play that role is the one who planted the seed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. And so these things are really some kind of, you know, they are simple but complicated. Because some of the time we make it complicated for ourselves. Praise God forevermore. Now, so the person who sowed the seed, and on a larger scale, who also got to be born again, is your Father in Christ through the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when you have a situation of the person who sowed the seed, and then somebody else watered, and the Lord gave the increase, on a larger scale, it is the person who sowed the seed. But the Lord will also determine who should be the person who is the Father in Christ between both parties. Now, I would say from the sower mentality is a sower, but the Lord is the one who determines at the end of the day. Because both parties have to rejoice in the harvest. So the Lord who says both parties rejoice in the harvest will determine who should take that responsibility of what? Father in the Christ, in Christ the gospel, among those two. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
All right. Where possible, one has to keep a good relationship with his or her father in the gospel for effective follow-up and discipleship. I use the word where possible. Where possible is used because some people like us, we don't actually know who want us. But if you look at from seed sowing, it is my biological parents. Are you getting what I'm saying? They began sowing the word with bad morning devotion into my life. Are you getting me? They began sowing the word with morning devotion into my life. Sowing the word with morning devotion into my life. Sowing the word into my life. I went to church. Every time they ask for tackle, I come back for tackle. I did it for years until I finally learned that when you have done it once, you are good to go. So you have to start going in the pit. And I said, okay, fine, thank God. And I started going in the pit. So if you want to talk about Father in Christ through the gospel, my biological prayer is actually my what? Father in Christ through what? The gospel. Now, for some others, they may not know. Or some others, the person who did it is not available again. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. But I use the word where possible because when you get to a point where you can get in touch with that person, get in touch with that person. Get in touch. Remember that by that time, maybe you have known more than the person. But you see, some of us are taller than our parents in height. Is that not so? Some of us know more than them academically. Some of us know more than them in a various fields. But it doesn't change the truth that they are what? They are parents. And there's still something that they can offer us that will help us. You see, I believe so much in the prayer of biological parents. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I also believe so much in the prayer of Father in Christ through the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, mine happens to be a combo. My biological parents and my father and my parents in Christ through the gospel. So, I believe so much in your prayers. Are you getting what I'm saying? I believe so much in your prayers. So, when possible, make sure you get in touch with them. Make sure you get in touch with them. Are we together? And their discipleship matters a lot. I always say my story. My mom said she had the baptism of the Holy Ghost when she was pregnant with me. And from the age of 6 thereabout, we started learning how to fast. And you know what I'm saying? One day, in fact, it was from KG, they stopped giving us snack to go take to school. So there was this training of, there was this food training. And then once in a week, I used to fast. Are you getting what I'm saying? They said, train me to fast. From before I was even a teenager. And so I remember even when I was in secondary school as a brother, are you getting what I'm saying? When I meant to be on my own, like I made a decision, I still used to engage in fasting. Are we together? And then my mom would tell me, okay, this is your pocket money. And then this is your offering. Offering is separate from pocket money. By no means should you what? Mix them up. So some trainings were there. Now, why do I give my children offerings every service? Why do I make sure they give an offering? Because my mother trained me with what? Giving an offering. And especially these times where we have so many instructors. Are you getting what I'm saying? My parents trained me to give tithes. Yeah, we have many instructors on tithe now. But I will still teach my children tithe. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will still teach them offering. Thank God the Lord has privileged me to be their father in Christ through the gospel. I will still, before this meeting today, my daughter was asking me many questions. I will sit and answer the questions. And there was a question she asked me today. And I was like, okay, I now have to give her a very good explanation. Why is it that God takes so long before he does a miracle? And I said, what miracle are you expecting God to do that is like it's taking long? And she pointed the miracle to me. And I said, okay, this is it. God, there are two ways God does miracles, instantly and some take time. I said, for example, if you want to go to the market, yeah, will you just immediately appear in the market? He said, no, we have to walk to the market, we have to take time together. I said, beautiful. So that is how God does miracles. In market, you are going there to buy food. You already have the money to buy food. Is that not so? But you have to go to the market. You cannot say, oh, food stuff appear in the house. It's not going to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, in that light, she was able to understand. And I said, you keep waiting on the Lord. The miracle will happen. Now, so, the place of fathers in Christ is very important. Because they are meant to be followers of the Lord Jesus. No matter whether you think that they are old school Christianity, but they are followers. And you are meant to follow them. Praise God forevermore. So, in this light, a father in Christ through the gospel is used by God to lead and guide the son in the gospel, or the daughter, by his what? Example. By what? Example. So, you must live an exemplary Christian life. Exemplary Christian life. And you see, like I said, he said, Apostle Paul said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. The day you stop following Christ, you have automatically told them to stop following you. And when they stop following you, don't what? Complain. Don't complain. Because you gave the go ahead. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it puts a responsibility on the Father in Christ to keep what? Following Christ. Following Christ. You see, the beautiful thing about this thing is that you as a father, you always watch your steps. What will Jesus do? How will Jesus go about it? What will Jesus say? How will Jesus say it? It puts that responsibility on you so that those that you have led to Christ can be good followers of the Lord Jesus as a following. I remember I read a story about the times when they were persecuting Christians in a particular, I've forgotten the place where the persecution was ongoing. And they entered into a monastery where the priests had other priests in training. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so the soldiers came and they wanted to start killing. And the other priests wanted to defend themselves. And the priest who was in charge, the senior priest, he told them, do not defend yourself. He said, do not defend yourself. We have been serving the Lord. If this is his will for us, that this is the way he wants to call us home, then so be it. They finished all of them. They massacred all of them. Finished all of them. So that finished all of them. And nobody defended themselves. Like a sheep to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. You see, those people, their understanding of the will of God was in a very wonderful way. And their bloods were the basis on which we have the gospel today. That people can even be doing in stock to anyhow. That people can be slaughtered anyhow. It's their blood that gave us this platform. That people can instruct anyhow. He said, don't defend yourself. If this is the will of God, this is how he wants us to be called home, then so be it. If it is not his will for us, then he will defend us as his soldiers have come. And that was how they kept, everybody kept stand, calm, stayed ready there, and they came and they massacred them, and that was how they went. But now I'm just giving us a very painful way to lead. A painful way to follow Christ. A very painful way to follow Christ and then have your followers follow you. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, if there have been other situations, you will see the leader will say, every man for himself, God for us. Some of them will run and leave their followers. Every man for himself, God for us. But that priest showed exemplary leadership. He showed exemplary what? Leadership. Because he was an exemplary follower of Christ. So it's important we know that before you start shouting, follow me, you should be asking yourself, am I following Christ? And you don't have the right to tell people who you do not lead to Christ to follow you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Number one, you don't have that right to. And so now, if God brings people under your fold, are you getting what I'm saying? If God brings people under your fold, who you do not lead to Christ? Because when Elijah said, if you look at church today, a larger percentage of people in churches today did not get saved, did not get born again under the leadership of that person. Some of them is Aquarium to Aquarium movement they have been doing now. So some of them were saved in another aquarium and they moved into another aquarium. Now, so since you are not the one who bettered them in Christ, you don't have the right to tell them to what? To follow you. All you can do is keep on, keep instructing. At that point, you're an instructor. Just keep instructing. And if they deem fit, are you getting what I'm saying? That be the way they have seen you live an exemplary Christian, like the way they have seen you follow Christ, and your instructions have also been in line with the ways of Christ and the principles of Christ, they choose to now follow you. Then let that be their choice. You don't have a right to impose that choice on them. Are we together? But that's how it's helpful to say, Father, Father, I don't call myself. I'm trusting God to help me father my own that He has given to me now, biological children. You get what I'm saying? I'm trusting God. Because these are the way these things happen. And none of us understand. And so we just have a lot of things mixed up. Are you getting me? So what we call spiritual father more often than not, it's not as if it's spiritual father. Are you getting me? There is basic, the only place where fatherhood was brought in here is the father that gives birth to you in Christ. The next one you should be thinking of is a prophet that is placed over your life. We'll get there. And that's not in this teaching. Praise God. All right. So in this slide, a father in the gospel is used by God to lead and guide the sons and the daughters in the gospel by example. In addition, same way Paul instructed, corrected, reproved, and counseled the saints who he bettered by the gospel, every father in Christ through the gospel must do the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means you must be able to have spiritual authority over them. And authority is not enforced. Authority is given by God and received by men. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so if God has not given you the place of authority as a father in Christ, you cannot play this role of what? Instructing, correcting, reproving, and counseling. I remember there was somebody I saw, he was speaking in a particular way online, and I felt that because I played a very important, I will not say I am his father in Christ through the gospel. I used to think that, but as I've thought it now, I've discovered that I will not say that. You get what I'm saying? There are many of them, I will not say that. I was an instructor at the face in their life. You get what I'm saying? In fact, when I understood this, how many years? About 13 years of pain disappeared. My years of pain disappeared. Because, you see, as a father, by right, your children are meant to keep in touch, although we have your children. You get what I'm saying? But if you are an instructor, there are 10,000 instructors. So you are just an instructor at the face of your life. And we'll see instructors when we get to the study. And more instructors will come. So there's nothing in quotes to attach to instructors. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's only a child that now feels that you are still an instructor you should listen to, that still commits to you. But if he feels that you are no longer an instructor to listen to, feel free, go to a higher instructor that you feel that are better than me. Or that are higher than me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Alright, praise God, faith the Lord. That's just alright. Now, so even in case of visual use, when we talk about spiritual father, see, there's not in quote, there's only like spiritual father. You have father in Christ, and then you have what? Prophet. And Eli was a prophet, was a priest, and Samuel was an upcoming. So look at those subjects when we get them. Praise God forevermore. All right, so You must do the same. Amen to Jesus. You must counsel, you must reprove, you must instruct those who are better by the gospel. Every father in the gospel must do this. Now, in this life, God leads and guides us using, you know, fathers in Christ through the gospel. He leads us and he guides us by using what? Fathers in Christ through what? Through the gospel. He leads us and guides us through that. Are we together? Especially if they are growing in the knowledge of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? And they are studying. Like I told us of how I went with my dad and I asked him some questions and he gave me some answers. Okay, I remember once I was invited to go and preach somewhere. It was an impromptu invitation. And I came, as I came, I began to manifest in the supernatural. The power of God was just moving everywhere. It was just explosive, moving everywhere. And then after that, I now taught. I know me, I like to teach. I prefer teaching than any other thing. Whether prophetic or advertising than any other thing. So after that meeting, I felt very bad. Why? Because I felt I did not have enough time to go deep into the teaching of the word. I took more of my time in the supernatural. And I went and I met my mom and I told my mom, I said, you see, I was invited to preach and I just, this supernatural, I didn't even have time to teach the word of God. She could see in my countenance that I was not happy and I was disappointed. I know what she told me. She said, what's the problem? That is what God wanted and that's what he did. As she told me that, you know what happened? It's like a weight lifted off my heart and I felt at peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah. All right. Now, God uses them to guide us and to teach us. So in a situation where one cannot remember or cannot assess your father in the gospel, your father in Christ in the gospel, you must ask the Lord to lead you to one. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, because these people are important in our walk with the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? And if you say, okay, I was 6 years old when the person that came to preach, and since then I never saw him, or he has passed on. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or the church I was with, the pastor who led me to Christ, he had been transferred to a place that I cannot assess him. I would have loved to assess him. First, try to assess him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Try, do your best to assess. And then if you cannot assess after doing everything to assess, ask the Lord to lead you. Why? Because, remember, Paul planted, Apollos watered. When there is a planter that is not available, there will always be a waterer that will be available. That's the way God operates. Praise God. So if the planter is no longer available, God has a waterer in stock for you to be available for you. So you ask the Lord to lead you. And when you tell him to lead you, you wait for him to lead you. Now, one thing I believe so much about fathers in the gospel, fathers in Christ through the gospel, is that we don't force relationship with them. Do you see any normal child try to force a relationship with the father? It means that the father is wrong. You get what I'm saying? My children assess me anytime, any day. They assess me 24/7, anytime, any day. Except I pray with them to give me a little time. But if I pray, they come into the room when I'm praying. You know, like, another day that gave his own testimony of when he was praying and his son bashed him. And said, what's cookies? And he said, but I'm praying. He said, what concerns the boy with cookies? With prayer. What cookies? And the boy, okay, he gave the boy cookies. Says, so when he noticed that, it became a practice. In his prayer room, he leaves cookies there. But anytime the young man comes, if you don't give him cookies and tell him, thank you, you can go. He's very strange. He's like, you know, as I said, you are a possessor. No, he's not a possessor, sir. He's teaching you something, that the place of fatherhood is access. You must be accessible. That even God has no privacy with us. Why do you not have a privacy with your child? If you're able to access you, you have a prayer room that your children cannot enter. Your wife cannot enter. Spiritual room. It's demonic in it. Spiritual room. No, not prayer room. Spiritual room. Ritual, exactly. Ritual room. So long as we, because only ritualists that have a room that nobody can access. Dr. Paul said, he was, when he's in his prayer room, pray, 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 pray. His wife comes into the room and she sees him praying. And when he sees him praying, he just hugs her. Just to tell you that, okay, I affirm that I know you're around. I need you around, eh? Don't worry. He hugs her, he lays hands on her, and she understands and she goes. And he continues the prayer. In the, are you not praying? In the heat of prayer, you can see hug. But it's only your own that when you are praying, nobody enter. Please. Even God understands this, that access is very what? Important. So if in a situation where you don't have access to the person again, it means that that person is no longer meant to take that role. God can bring what? The waterer to take the role. Ask the Lord to be your lead to the person, to the waterer. You know what I'm saying? If the Lord is here to lead you to one, what are you to do? Simply honor fathers in Christ that you know. Are you getting what I'm saying? And keep in touch with the instructors till God leads you to one father in Christ. Now, you don't have the right to say, God has not led me to a father in Christ. I will not go and adopt a father in Christ. You can't do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? What you do is, you know fathers in Christ who are laboring to bring people into Christ. Honor them. Then instructors have them. The ones the Lord leads you to. But wait till the Lord leads you towards a father in Christ. Because they are important to lead us in the ways of Christ and in the principles of Christ. Let's open our mouths and bless the name of the Lord. They help us to get success. They help us to get good success. Let's bless the name of the Lord.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say these words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, and till eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-154-551-2013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. To give in CDs, Universal Merchant Bank Ghana, you can send to account number 033-254-551-2017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. Also, for further inquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or, send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.